greet our friends everywhere with Chapter 45 of Perilous Journey, the story of John Bunyan. This is another in the series Stories of Great Christians and comes to you from the radio studios of the Moody Bible Institute of Chicago. Century England was in constant political and religious flux. On the one hand, there were the formalists, the royalists, those who held to a unity of worship among the people of England. On the other hand, there were the nonconformists, the Puritans, who held that each man was responsible to worship God as God revealed himself to the individual. Early in the century, the monarchy had been the formalists and the Parliament the Puritans. For over a decade after the victory of Parliament over the king, England had enjoyed a measure of tolerance and no king in power. Then the tide turned, and Charles II was brought to power. Tolerance ceased, and nonconformists were fined or jailed, among them John Bunyan. During his two prison terms, amounting to almost 15 years, John Bunyan became a national figure in the nonconformist movement. And when tolerance was again allowed, he preached virtually all over the British countryside. His own church in Bedford founded over 120 churches. Bunyan's impact was felt then, and through his writing has lasted over 300 years. As John neared his 60th birthday, the state of the country seemed to change daily. In order to be sure his wife, Elizabeth, and his 6 children did not have their home and possessions confiscated as a fine against him, he legally made Elizabeth owner of all. Thus, he would have no possessions to be taken. But in less than a year's time, after the legal document had been signed, the policy of the king changed again, and tolerance was again the order of the day.
Tolerance, indeed! And James is as bad as his father Charles.
The Puritans and nonconformists have more freedom now than ever. How can you say that's bad?
It's so obvious, I don't see how you can miss it.
What?
Strategy, that's what. By allowing the nonconformists all the freedom they want, James is able to weaken the old Protestant church.
Weaken?
That's right. He lets the church break itself up into little pieces. Then, when it has no uniform front, he brings in his friends from Rome.
As had been the case from the beginning, the nonconformists, such as John Bunyan, were caught in a political and religious position they had not desired to start and did not mean to maintain. For John Bunyan, the times of tolerance were a relief. He began making longer journeys from his small town of Bedford. He even visited London.
Hardly recognize the old town, would you, John?
Everywhere you look, still remains of the great fire. What a terrible thing it must have been.
You can be sure we were happy to live where we do. Right on London Bridge. We were hardly affected.
Praise God for that.
We do. Every time we look at the rest of the city.
It looks as though the city is beginning to come to life again. I see the coffee houses are among the first rebuilt.
Ah, yes. The coffee houses and the taverns. Have you tasted the new China drink everyone is talking about?
Not that I know of. China drink?
Some call it tea. It comes from the Orient. Not bad.
Spirits?
No more than coffee. Let's stop in at the next coffee house. You might like it.
I'd hate to spoil the appetite I've worked up for one of your wife's fine meals.
Oh, she's laying quite a spread for you, John. She counts it an honor to have such a distinguished guest at table.
Distinguished, indeed.
You are. You'll see that for yourself soon enough. Your books have made you probably the most notable leader in the nonconformist cause. All over London, people are reading you, especially Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. those who may have misunderstood what you stand for have completely come your way after reading that book.
I pray they will see the faithful God behind my experience.
They have no fear of that. They have messages from at least a dozen churches, and 10 times that many people would like you to speak with them while you're here.
I can hardly believe it.
So you see why my Sally counts you a distinguished guest. Wait till you see the meal, John. Fresh fish just caught under the city walls, salted eels, wild herb salad, and if you like the taste, the China drink tea.
Wait till I see it. Wait till I taste it.
If John Bunyan's contribution to the nonconformist movement could be summed up in a word or two, it might be called constructive acceptance. Hardly a person reads Grace Abounding, Pilgrim's Progress, The Life and Death of Mr. Badman, The Holy War, or any of his pointed works without identifying with John's struggles and finding the powerful, faithful God of mercy ready to help. As a preacher, he was in great demand. Even in the dead of winter, at 7 a.m. in London, as many as 1,200 have been reported attending one of his sermons.
He that is down needs fear no fall. He that is low, no pride. He that is humble ever shall have God to be his guide.
In middle August, 1688, John Bunyan set out for London on a typical preaching visit.
I must be going, my dear Elizabeth. I have to stop on the way to see if I can remind the Dawson family that love edifieth and division pulleth down.
I wish you wouldn't go, John. I'm so concerned about you.
That little attack of sweating sickness a few months ago.
You haven't really been yourself since.
God has given me back more than enough strength to accomplish his purposes.
You seem so tired these days.
Do I seem tired now?
I know you, John Bunyan. You're pretending to feel better than you really do. Please, can't someone else talk to the Dawson family? Can't someone else preach in London?
Elizabeth, my sweet wife, how I love your concern.
I find myself wishing that you loved it enough to do something about it.
And I shall. As soon as I return from this trip to London, I will rest. I mean, really rest. How's that?
Well,
a fortnight, Elizabeth. Only a fortnight. And then it's back to the pathway of health for me.
Oh, my John.
My dear, dear Elizabeth.
You haven't done that for a long time.
What's that?
Caressed my hair like that.
Just thinking of resting is making me feel young again. Goodbye, my sweet Elizabeth. I'll be back sooner than you think.
Do you have everything?
The horse can hardly hold more. Here's my manuscript. Now, there's something you hadn't thought of.
What?
Well, if you'll remember correctly, in the last 8 months I've written 5 books. The latest right here on its way to the publishers. Not bad for a 60-year-old man, wouldn't you say?
John.
You see, I don't mean it to boast, just to assure you that I'm not in as weak a state as you think. I know, horse, I know. But sometimes women must be attended to before all other business can take place.
Well, try not to overdo, John. And return with the safety and speed of God.
He has always seen me safely home in the past. I know he will see me safely home this time.
The stop at the Dawson home brought reconciliation to its members, but took longer than John had anticipated. As he hurried toward London, heavy storm clouds filled the sky. Soon the rain was pouring down, blinding his horse and causing the way to be slow and stumbling. When John finally reached the home of the friends he was staying with in London, he was chilled and weary and pale.
Help him into the house, Paul, quickly!
I'm doing the best I can. John, are you able to walk?
Just let me lean on you.
Nasty weather for travel.
The horse is in need, too.
Here, take him straight away to the hearth.
Martha, make a bed ready upstairs quickly. Plenty of warm bedclothes.
Yes, dear. Oh, the poor man.
Just a little chill, that's all.
Here, let me help you out of those wet things, John.
Fire feels...
John! He seems to be resting quietly. The warm towels and your herb drink helped.
I'm so glad. Oh, Paul, he looks so dreadful.
I know. I never thought of him as old before. He was always so full of energy and ideas.
Yes. He looks just like a tired old man up there.
It was only a matter of days. John rallied and preached at a nearby church, then collapsed again as pneumonia began to sap the last of his strength. He lay at times rational, at times delirious. He spoke of Elizabeth, of his dear blind daughter Mary, of his sister Margaret, the playmate of his childhood. Then, on August 31, 1688, John Bunyan at last knew for all eternity that the Lord of the Way was not the wrathful God of his conversion, but the merciful Jesus who had pardoned his sins and accepted him as his disciple. The news of John's death dealt a heavy stroke on all his friends, companions, and admirers. But the heaviest blow was to his faithful Elizabeth, who, although not yet 50 years of age, died soon after. From part two of Pilgrim's Progress comes this death speech by Mr. Standfast. Perhaps it was prophetic.
I see myself now at the end of my journey. My toilsome days are ended. I'm going now to see the head that was crowned with thorns, the face that was spit upon for me. I have formerly lived by hearsay and faith, but now I go where I shall live by sight, and shall be with him in whose company I delight myself. I have loved to hear of my Lord spoken of, and wherever I have seen the print of his shoe, I have coveted to set my foot to. He has held me and kept me from mine iniquities. Yea, my steps hath he strengthened in his way. Take me, for I come unto thee.
John Bunyan, obscure son of a tinker, leader in sin, saved by grace, used in a lasting ministry by the Most High God. Is anyone outside the grace of God? You've heard the final chapter of Perilous Journey, the story of John Bunyan. Heard in the story were Ted Seeley as John Bunyan and Rex Brenner as Christian. Others in the cast included Louise Kearley, Florence Schmidt, Barbara Denius, Phyllis Snee, Rita Stobie, Myron Kennedy, Walter Carlson, and Neil Doty. The story was written by Jim and Myrna Grant and directed by Wendell Boring. Original music by Ralph Coburn and sound effects by Lou Knowlton and Doug Wilkins. The engineer was Ken Allspaugh, and your announcer is Bill Pierce. This is another in the series Stories of Great Christians, and comes to you from the radio studios of the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago.